Funding for Think comes from SMU Master and Doctor of Liberal Studies programs.
It's an incredible time for health technology startups. In 2014, investment in digital health surpassed $4.1 billion, which is nearly the total of the three prior years combined. In Texas cities like Dallas and Austin, the health tech collision has created everything from virtual doctor apps to new medical devices. But making it from fledgling idea to investor-ready product requires more than a few episodes of Shark Tank, unfortunately, which is where the Dallas startup accelerator called Health Wildcatters comes in. For 2 years, it's helped connect entrepreneurs with mentors and venture capital. So far, graduates of the program have raised $11 million. You're listening to Think on KERA. I'm Lauren Silverman, filling in this week for Chris Boyd. And this hour, I'm talking with three Dallas-based entrepreneurs. Hubert Zajcek is CEO of Health Wildcatters. Michael Gorton is serial entrepreneur and founder of and founding CEO of Teladoc, which is now the largest telehealth company in the U.S. And Naveen Khan, she's founder of PT Pal and a graduate of Dallas's Health Wildcatters Accelerator Program. Hubert, Naveen, Michael, welcome to Think.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Hubert, start off by explaining how this accelerator works.
Right. Thank you for having us here today. It's exciting times in Dallas for healthcare entrepreneurs and entrepreneurship in general. It's a three-month program. It's competitive to get into. We actually had our finals 2 days ago, and I have to keep my lips sealed as to who will be in the next class. But basically, we pick a dozen startups, and they will be spending 3 months with us. It's very intense. We make a small investment in them. And then they graduate in November, at which point they will seek additional capital in most cases, other resources, and really launch that business. The point is that we're accelerating the space, the time in which they do the pieces that they couldn't do unless they had hundreds of mentors and all the things that we have in the program.
And you've had two classes so far. What are the majority developing?
So we have a pretty good mix in there, but there's quite a bit of digital health and mobile health, which you would think of anything that runs off a mobile phone. And then medical devices. And we have always kept an open mind towards healthcare innovation. We have a lot of physicians involved, and we're not shy about improving lives in whatever way we can if we can think that the business can be sustained. So we have a few. You have a pharmaceutical company. We have something in the skincare product. So there's a variety.
And you're a doc. You're a physician yourself.
I'm a physician by training. Yes.
So that hopefully bleeds through, and you can help people. Well, maybe not bleeds through. That's a bad metaphor to use, but it transfers to helping those startups.
Yes.
Naveen, you competed for a spot in this accelerator back in 2013. Why did you want to be a part of it?
Yeah, we started off in Los Angeles, and we were building, or I was building, this product on my own. And I happened to reach out to Hubert, and I have to say, Hubert and his the Health Wildcatters team is phenomenal. They do look outside the box. They look at your product. They don't look at, you know, your background or whether you're affiliated to a university, and makes it really unique because they are picking true innovative products as a result. And I wanted to get to the next level with my product, and I needed the mentorship that they could provide, the backing, information, and so I applied and got in.
And what is your product? Describe PT Pal.
PT Pal, I actually created it for myself originally. I needed physical therapy, and every time I went to physical therapy, I'd get paper instructions or oral instructions, and I didn't want to count for myself. I couldn't remember my instructions, and I wanted better care, and I wanted to track my care. So I created a simple app that has pictures, video, and counting ability, and it tracked whether I did my exercises or not. And then it developed into a clinician web portal that you could prescribe from into the app.
And I reported on PT Pal for KERA's Breakthrough Series back in March. I visited with a physical therapist who uses the app to replace those sheets of paper you're referring to that patients are given to take home, you know, with scribbled notes and diagrams of leg lifts and stretches.
One of the problems is you print this off for them, they lose the page. I tell them to stick it to the refrigerator, you know, and so that way they've got it. But most of the time, they lose it.
Richard McGuire is a physical therapist at Legacy Medical Village in Plano. He tries to help patients remember tricky exercises, like the side-lying hip adduction, by coming up with catchy names, like the Jane Fonda.
People can go, oh, yeah, I'm doing my Jane Fondas now, or, you know, I'm doing my Michael Jacksons now.
The thing is, even if patients remember which one the Charlie's Angels arm stretch is, it looks like you're holding a pistol, there's no way to tell if they're actually following through and completing the exercises. So McGuire uses the app PT Pal for two things. First, to help patients keep track of their homework. Second, to monitor them. Here's how it works.
I sign them up, and as soon as I hit click, it sends them an email. The app downloads for free. I give them their login. Very simple. And boom, the exercises are there.
At home, the patient taps on an exercise, say leg lifts, and after pressing start, a countdown begins with the correct number of reps and sets for their rehab. As the patient goes through the routine, feedback is sent to therapist McGuire.
You can kind of go into...
He pulls up the dashboard on his computer. It shows a dozen or so patients he's enrolled, and he clicks on one.
It gives me how many times she's done it, on what day she did it, actually what time she did it. Has it been completed, yes or no? How many sets she did?
That's from a story that I reported back in March. Naveen, how much do private providers like McGuire, this physical therapist, pay for PT Pal?
It varies. It depends on the size of the clinic, but we have hospitals that pay as low as $15 because they have thousands of clinicians, and it can go up to $50 if you only have a couple in your or one in your in your office, in your clinic.
We'll talk more about that, and you can get into who's using it. But first, Michael, you are a mentor for some of these startups, for people like Naveen. What's your role in Health Wildcatters?
They invite me in to give a speech during the class. And my speech is all about how the world isn't as simple as you think it is when you first start becoming an entrepreneur. There are potholes, there are death traps, there are all kinds of things. And I'm a mountain climber, so I like to give them stories that, you know, what happens if you're on an ice sheet and you slip and fall? And that's the way the world of entrepreneurism is. It's crazy. You have great ideas, and everything starts with a great idea, but that's a long ways from the finish line.
And you know that firsthand. How many companies have you started?
Personally, have started eight. I've lost count of how many I've worked with from startup, but yeah.
And it's been everything from music to telecommunications to energy, and of course, you're responsible for the creation of Teladoc, which has been in the news with a big IPO recently. How did you end up getting Teladoc off the ground more than a decade ago?
Oh, boy, that was a long, long battle. You know, when people always say, "What keeps you up at night?" There was a time period. I was in a meeting at Teladoc, and my admin comes in, and she says, "We need to break this meeting up right away. You got to come up front." And I said, "Why?" And she said, "The DEA is here, and they have badges." So, you know, it's one of those things where when you hear the story, okay, Teladoc just had a billion-dollar market cap IPO, and MIT just said it was the one of the top 50 startup companies or smartest companies in the world right now. And to quote my 16-year-old son, "Dad, you guys beat IBM and Microsoft and Uber and Facebook." So, but you know, getting from here's the napkin that starts it all to here's the billion-dollar IPO is a huge task. And you know, you want all of these entrepreneurs to keep their energy, to keep their spirit. And so Hubert brings guys like me in to help keep them energized and help them miss some of the potholes that we know are coming.
Hubert, is a successful exit or initial public offering the goal for most of the entrepreneurs who wind their way through Health Wildcatters?
Well, you know, there is a good amount of passion that you have to do be an entrepreneur. And if you don't have that, you may as well just pack up and go home. So all of our entrepreneurs are driven by a passion to build something that they strongly believe can make a difference, sometimes through personal experiences, sometimes through things they observed, or through professional pitfalls or things they see they can improve. So if you have the goal in mind that you're trying to make a lot of money, you're going to fail. If you think that this is something you really want to work on, and if it becomes a great business, then maybe you should take on some additional capital and start building it. It's become scalable. Then you go down that route, and it certainly can happen. It's not a certain path to success for sure. That's otherwise everyone would be doing it. But it is driven by passion first and foremost.
Which startups have been the most successful? I don't know if that's in an area or whether it's from personal drive or who's done it?
Sure. So we're not on the air, right?
No.
Okay.
No pressure.
Nobody hears this. Okay, perfect. Well, we've had 22 graduates so far. And there is a wide variety. Depending on how you measure success, there are different ways to do that. So we have some certainly that raised more capital than others, but you can easily argue that they also needed more capital than others. If you're in the business of helping entrepreneurs, you want them to raise what they need. There's no point in raising several times what you need. So it becomes a vanity game if you just go down that route. Obviously, if you produce something with less capital and then can make a difference, start being used by physicians or patients, then that's a success. So it's hard to measure. But ultimately, of course, the way to actually clear an investment, to actually get a return in most cases, is going to be some sort of an exit, which means an IPO, an acquisition, a merger, or in some cases you become a going concern with revenues and dividends.
And you have, I was looking through the list of some of the companies that have gone on to raise a good amount in capital. There was the pharmaceutical company that went through Health Wildcatters, Lantern Pharma, and one we mentioned earlier, Silicone Arts Laboratories. Those both got $1 million or more in Series A funding.
Yes.
Do you try and stay away from those numbers? Or that's what...
No. I mean, in some cases... I could only speak about the numbers that they have published themselves, and that has to do with SEC, and it's their prerogative to announce those numbers. But you're absolutely right, yes. So Silicon Arts Labs raised, I believe it was $1.5 million, Lantern over $1 million, and has raised additional. Socrates Health Solutions raised, I think it's over $3 million or almost $4 million. Others raised in the $500,000 range, like Orb raised $650,000, and I know there's more. So it depends. Some announce it, some don't. Sometimes there are technicalities why they may or may not. Cumulatively, they've raised over $11 million in the last 19 months or so. And while that is not necessarily the biggest number ever, what matters is that they get the capital that they need. So it's less of a vanity game on the absolute number. What matters to us is to get what they need to get to the next step, and that's really crucial.
And the support they need as well.
Absolutely.
Through mentors, and you have more than 100, right?
We do, yeah. We have over 120 mentors now, and Michael is one of them.
Just one of the many, and many who are doctors or who had success with their own companies.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So an experienced healthcare or other entrepreneur is the person that will gravitate towards that. And the reason I say that is because these are people who have gotten to a point where they believe they can now give back. And in many cases, they have not had that support back when they were starting it.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Lauren Silverman, sitting in this week for Chris Boyd. We're talking with Michael Gorton. He's an entrepreneur and founding CEO of Teladoc, with Naveen Khan. She's founder of PT Pal, and with Hubert Zajcek, who's CEO of Health Wildcatters. We'll be back with more after a break.
Mm-hmm.
Funding for Think comes from the SMU Master of Liberal Studies program. You can apply now for fall and design your own master's degree at SMU, a customizable evening master's degree for working professionals. More at smu.edu/MLS.
Mentorship and money, two key ingredients to starting a successful company. You're listening to Think on KERA. I'm Lauren Silverman, in this week for Chris Boyd. And we're talking with three Dallas-based entrepreneurs familiar with the health tech startup world, Hubert Zajcek. He's CEO of Health Wildcatters, serial entrepreneur Michael Gorton, and Naveen Khan, who created a physical therapy app called PT Pal. So the startup accelerator, Health Wildcatters, offers a bit of both money and mentorship. It provides, I think it's $35,000 in seed funding in exchange for some ownership. Naveen, you participated in this program. What kind of mentorship did you get for your startup, PT Pal?
The mentorship we got was invaluable, actually. We, when we had questions on do we need FDA approval or I have to say, Michael Gorton is one of my favorite mentors. He's absolutely a gem. His experience is phenomenal. And just to be exposed to people like him was invaluable. Just major questions when you have that you have as you grow or as you build your business, like financial questions. I had one mentor talk to me about projections. I'm not the best mathematician out there, so he actually created a projection worksheet, not just for me, but for everybody, which was phenomenal. And he kept this folder of financials on every team, and he knew exactly where we are, where we wanted to be, and would walk through us with it. So just things like that, was the personal attention that we got was really incredible. It really was like having a family. It was essential to our growth.
How about support in terms of money and funding? Give me a sense of where you were when you came to Dallas for the accelerator program and where you were when you emerged 3 months later.
So I bootstrapped. I really wanted to prove out that my idea was worthy and worked. And then I spoke with Hubert, and he sort of validated my idea. And then we went through a process, got into Health Wildcatters, and we got the seed funding. So we did a bit more technology development. At the end of Health Wildcatters, we were offered a lot of funding from different entities, and we were actually able to choose. So it helped us definitely get to where we are today. And Hubert's correct in saying we personally as a company took what we needed. We didn't, go after more than what we needed, which is correct for us, which is something that I really like about Health Wildcatters. It's really keeping, it's good advice. It's keeping it real, not giving away too much of the company, etc., and having good people on board. So, so we got to do more with the technology, with that funding, bring more people on, and now we have numerous customers and are doing really well.
If you have a question or comment about startups in the area, call 1-800-933-5372. Again, that's 800-933-5372. You can also email think@kera.org. Michael, as Naveen said, you're pretty sought after as a mentor, having started 8 companies and negotiating major buyouts. What's the most useful advice that you give to entrepreneurs?
Never give up. If you have a good plan, ultimately, you can make it work.
Never.
Never. Ever.
Gosh, that's scary.
Trust me. As a serial entrepreneur, I can tell all of you entrepreneurs that are listening right now, I'm in that position right now where, I'm down to sleeping a few hours a night, solving problems, working through issues. And, if you're a good entrepreneur, you recognize that you will be declared dead many times, and you'll figure out how to get up and do it again.
And the company you're referring to, what you're working on, is that Principal Solar.
Yeah, that's right.
Tell me a little bit about that one.
Well, We have some of the greatest opportunities in solar right now. We have some great assets based out of North Carolina, and we have almost everything in place. But we're in Texas, and in Texas, we know energy better than anybody in the country, maybe better than anybody in the world. But you know how we spell energy? O-I-L and G-A-S. Nobody knows how to spell S-O-L-A-R yet. And so it's been fun educating everybody, but it also creates complications because we have to raise a lot of money. And that's difficult when all of your high net worth friends are energy folks, and they understand energy, but Texas energy.
There's a company that's called Socrates that went through Health Wildcatters that you're on the board of. How'd that happen?
Well, I was sitting in my office. One of my fellow members of the management team at Principal Solar had been saying, you got to meet these guys, you got to meet these guys. And one day I was just sitting in the office and he said, you've got 15 minutes on your calendar. Scott is going to come in. So Scott comes in. He goes, I only have 15 minutes. He pricks his finger, says, I'm not a diabetic. This is what diabetics do every day. You know, he ran the strip and showed me what, you know, the traditional method of measuring blood sugar gave. And then he put this little clip on his ear and he pressed a button and went beep, beep. And he showed it to me and it was almost the same exact number. And it was like a hurricane force wind hit me in the face. And I went, okay, I'll find time for this.
This is sort of the holy grail for people trying to make checking blood sugar levels easier, is to not have it be invasive, i.e. pricking
right.
your finger and getting a
yeah.
blood sample on a strip a million times a day, but having
right.
it be just something you wear or mm-hmm. something like that.
Yeah. And so Socrates has the ability to disrupt an industry. And, you know, that's what entrepreneurs really love. You know, the ability to start from nothing and create something that changes everything.
Hubert, not every entrepreneur is going to be able to participate in a program like Health Wildcatters. Like you said, it's selective, and there are a few other ones across the country that are also very selective. What are some solid tips for making connections with mentors like Mike outside of a formal setting?
Right. You know, I trained as a physician, but spent 10 years in academia, was on faculty at UT Southwestern, and had that idea that I would really like to know more about business and didn't really know what. When I got my MBA at SMU, I realized it's entrepreneurship. But the one thing that I started doing when I explored was, besides the MBA, was to start attending networking events around the region, attending breakfasts and things of that nature. And it's tough. You know, as a researcher, you walk into these things and, you know, you're not the guy that anybody wants to meet usually and because you don't know anything about business. And so it's not easy, but you got to keep doing that. You always walk away. You always walk away with something gained from these events. And even if you're feeling like you didn't really meet more than three people, a couple months later you run into that person, and before you know it, there's some really cool thing that you learn or you gain from it. And actually, you know, I had to tell my wife that too. She said, you're going to all these things. What
Why are you leaving me here?
What's the point? And the point is, if you love something, if you need something, if you know this is there's something there, then you just got to keep doing it. An opportunity will happen, but you got to show up.
And there are these events all the time. I mean, I get updates for them on Meetup or other sites. Not every night, but many nights of the week, there is something going on.
There is. In the startup world in Dallas, it's gotten really exciting. On the healthcare side, it's been a little thin.
Uh-huh.
We started a breakfast series in February that runs every month, and it's just an hour with a seasoned entrepreneur that gives a talk, a startup that gets to pitch, because there's no place in Dallas you can pitch as a startup to an audience, even just to run through the exercise. And the point behind it is to connect people. And it's been a phenomenal success. It's been fun. We just do it as a service to the community. It's not you know, for us. It's for everyone. And it reminded me of my days when I walked into those meetings and didn't know anyone, but I knew the more I can do to help connect people in that room, the better.
If you have questions about pitching or anything related to health and tech startups, call 800-933-5372, which is where we reach JR in Dallas.
Hello, I just had a question. If you could recommend any funding sources for company startups that are more traditional, that aren't brick and mortar, that are brick and mortar, that aren't the high tech or healthcare mm-hmm. industry, such as retail and architectural and engineering firms, things like that. Can you recommend any funding sources for those type of companies?
All right, interesting. I don't know if you guys have an answer for that, or if that's a pretty different industry.
It is different. Apologies to the caller. I that is not my area of expertise. But I would say, depending on what industry you're in, let's say you're starting a restaurant. I mean, there's Restaurant Association of Texas, and you start networking at those meetings, and you run the Rolodex. I mean, run through the web and find out who invests in these things. Actually, restaurants would be a great one for Dallas, because there's quite a bit of opportunity. So you're just going to have to dig in and find out where those meetings are. Go to those. Go to conferences. Sorry, I don't personally know.
But that brings up another question, which is access to money to venture capital for health tech companies, is it easier or harder in Texas compared to other places?
So we have to differentiate here between venture capital and angel capital.
Uh-huh.
And traditionally, it's been difficult in our region to raise funds. And just a few years ago, you would have heard of companies that got started here that ended up leaving Dallas because they couldn't find any capital here. And the reason you leave is because your investors, especially if they put in a prominent amount of money, they want you close by.
Because they want to keep watch over you.
Yeah, and also their networks. They want to help you, and they just can't at a distance. So that, in my humble opinion, has changed quite significantly. It's a slow process. I hope that our entity plays a role in it. We have a lot of first-time angel investors, and we encourage them to become mentors. So that helps in the process of them getting comfortable with what an angel investor does, and hopefully makes them familiar with one or two startups that they at least could think about investing in.
Naveen, where were the investors that invested in PT Pal, the physical therapy app that you developed? Where are they? Are they here in Texas?
Yes, in Dallas.
And is that helpful? Do you have much interaction with them?
I do every week. They sit on my board, and it is somewhat helpful. I think it's really important. They come from telecom, which is helpful. I think it's really important to find somebody from healthcare that's helpful, a more of a strategic partner, I would say, if I was going to go out and raise more money. We actually have somebody looking at our company that, for example, is they are in sort of innovation, device manufacturing, KKT International, and they just produced a non-invasive sound wave technology that they've paired up with PT Pal. That's the kind of strategic, and they're all over the world, and that's the kind of strategic partnership I would sort of recommend.
Hmm. Michael, you've sought funding for everything from a record label company to Teladoc to now the energy company you run, Principal Solar. Are certain industries here just easier to get funding for?
Yes. I would say traditional energy, tech, telecom.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money in Texas. But you hear Naveen on the phone and you realize this is a very sophisticated entrepreneur. Who I didn't meet before. I imagine Naveen learned a lot. I saw a lot of the students come through the Health Wildcatters. They learned a lot. And the thing that you realize as you come through and you're looking for funding is somebody that you know or with whom you've networked at Wildcatters is going to be able to help you. And that's what essentially you have to do. You just have to sit down and talk to everybody sometimes. And you'll find the capital that you need. And that's what I would say to JR is, whatever you're doing out there, JR, find people that know this industry and just sit down with them, schedule meetings with them, go to networking events where similar people are, and you'll find the capital.
You can call and join the conversation. We're going to take a short break, but the number is 800-933-5372, or you can email think@kera.org. I'm Lauren Silverman, sitting in this week for Chris Boyd. We're talking startups with three entrepreneurs, and Naveen Khan is on the line from California. She created a physical therapy app called PT Pal. Hubert Zajcek, CEO of Health Wildcatters, and Michael Gorton, who is CEO of Principal Solar. You can join our conversation. Call 800-933-5372. We'll be back with more after a short break.
Funding for Think comes from the SMU Master of Liberal Studies program. You can apply now for fall and design your own master's degree at SMU, specializing in communications or organizational dynamics. More at smu.edu/MLS.
You're listening to Think on KERA. I'm Lauren Silverman, in this week for Chris Boyd. Today, we're venturing into the world of startups, specifically health and technology startups in North Texas. Our guests are Naveen Khan, who created a physical therapy app called PT Pal, Hubert Zajcek, he's CEO of Health Wildcatters, and serial entrepreneur Michael Gorton. Cities across the country are competing to attract startups. They're trying to get super fast internet, even giving away money, I've seen. Does it matter whether the startups are in healthcare versus energy or telecommunications for these cities that are competing? Do they care what the startup is working on, Michael?
Yeah, of course they do. And, you know, you want to be in a city where you're going to have the resources. And I can tell you, one of the big resources that we still need in Dallas is a Tier 1 research school. And I know there's a lot of work on this, and SMU is a great university for entrepreneurism. Jerry White is one of the truly great masters in this area. But
he's SMU, a professor of entrepreneurship
Yes, he is. And Professor White did this long before anybody else. And so I imagine that people do come to Dallas because of him. But again, we still need a Tier 1 school. And so we have to look to probably UT Dallas or UT Arlington. We just lost the president of UT Dallas, which was sad. There, I think UT Dallas is probably the best possibility for getting there. And when we get there, it changes everything.
People will come.
Right. Exactly.
Naveen, you are out in LA now. You came to Dallas for the accelerator for your physical therapy app. Do you find you split your time between the places? How do you work that?
I do, because my family are out here, so I have to be out here much of the time. But I do. I split my time between places. But we are actually international, so I end up being everywhere. We're particularly on the we have a high density of locations on the East Coast. We just expanded into Canada. So we do a lot of traveling.
And do you find that coming back to Dallas, you feel like the community is big enough, it's a strong enough network for you and for PT Pal to stay here for more than a few weeks at a time?
Definitely. It's like family. It's like home. It's good for the company. We there's always events going on at Health Wildcatters. And so there's always, you know, sort of backup and mentorship, and people are kind of, you know, recognize you, which is nice. So yeah, it's like going home.
Hubert, what other physical therapy startups or in that area have you seen coming through Health Wildcatters?
Well, we have one in particular that started out, Fusimoto, actually in the same year that Naveen's startup went through. And they've done very well, too, and raised a good amount of money. And they are local, and they have pivoted a little bit into sports medicine. It is a technology based on the Kinect console from Microsoft that allows you to do your exercises in front of it. And as you know, that's the machine that can pick up your gestures. So it could correct you and tell you, no, you didn't do your physical therapy right. So obviously they had great synergies, those two companies, in our program. But that's specifically one in physical therapy that we've had come through.
Which are you closest, Michael, are you mentoring, working with closest right now? Which companies?
Socrates.
Which is the blood glucose.
Yeah, that's the blood glucose. Yeah. It is such a disruptive type of company that we managed to get a former HHS secretary on our board, Tommy Thompson, and he's been very helpful. Hubert is on the board with me. That company is exciting, Naveen's company is exciting. I help Caraloop a little bit. And
Caraloop is one of the first, in part of the first class. That's a company that helps people navigate the world of senior care and senior living, which has been pretty successful. Michael Walsh
is now an alum, and he's very active in helping the younger teams get their footing in the program. So, yeah.
If you have questions about your own startup, or maybe you're just thinking about a startup, even before the seedling to the startup, call 800-933-5372. You can email think@kera.org to get some of your questions answered as well. Now, Hubert, you'll reveal in August who's been selected for the third class of Health Wildcatters. What have we seen? I know you can't give anything away, but what are we seeing in the field?
Right. So we continue to see a lot of digital health and mobile health innovation. And just, there's so many terms out there like health IT and health tech and med tech. And so it gets pretty confusing. And digital health really is just a new way to say healthcare IT. But if you think about the mobile health, I think it's an easy way to wrap your brain around. We carry a computer in our pockets every single day in the form of a smartphone. And needless to say, it is capable of computing a ton of information. So imagine hooking up any kind of sensor to it or using attachments that opens up a whole new world of medicine. So I often compare it to the difference between photography and film. As a physician right now, you will have the patient coming into your office, and you may observe the problem, or it may have gone away again. And you're guessing, you're doing some lab tests, but you wish you could just go home with that patient and observe and see what's going on. And so with mobile health, those things become possibilities. You now can record heart rates with the help of a mobile device, and they can connect and record to the mobile phone continuously. So we're just scratching the surface on mobile health, and I think it's an easy one to realize that the opportunities are just mind-boggling in that area.
The number to call if you've got a question is 800-933-5372, which is where we find Marlon in Dallas.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. Thanks for asking. I just had a quick question. I've actually worked for two startups in the past 3 years, and it's been a pretty enjoyable experience. I'm back out in the market now, and I'm actually trying to see what's the best way to find startups that are looking for talent in your specific, I guess you could say, profession.
All right, Marlon. Any response, okay. Hubert?
Sure. He didn't say what his profession was, or I guess was that Marlon? Was that the Could you tell us what it is?
Hold on one second. Marlon, what profession exactly? What area of startups?
It was a service as a software, field management software.
Okay.
Okay.
So pretty general. I mean, there are a lot of entrepreneurial resources in Dallas, but again, don't take it for granted. They did not exist 5-10 years ago. There are several accelerators besides Health Wildcatters, of course, more established like Tech Wildcatters, and then some newer ones like RevTech and Collide Village. There is the DEC, the Dallas Entrepreneur Center, which is a great anchor point for anyone to find a wide variety of events and connections. And for instance, I mentor at the DEC. The DEC is a nonprofit organization, and I have office hours there. And even though I'm just a few blocks away, I go down there once a month just to volunteer and let anyone who wants to have a meeting. And so all of us in the startup community believe in that concept of paying it forward and having to build and give back as you go along. And so that creates opportunities. So, Marlon, you should have a ton of opportunity there. Launch DFW is another website you could go to that has a lot of connectivity that will show you 5 events every day.
Yeah, that's a good one. Any comments, Michael?
Yeah. So as a serial entrepreneur who's been doing this for 20-plus years, I have worked with accelerators in South Africa and Europe and the UK and China and Canada and the US. And I can tell you the Tech Wildcatters and the Health Wildcatters are the best of the best. It has been absolutely amazing watching these two entities grow in this town. And my hat's off to Hubert and to Gabriella for, you know, the genius and for taking a concept and putting it on the map. I mean, people come to Texas because of the Wildcatters. And you know, if you have Texas roots, you got to love the name, right? You know,
I was going to say, it's not the traditional Wildcatters.
We are, but Wildcatters, it elicits a thing from the Old West. And I would say, you know, call the Wildcatters. That's a great place to start.
Now, what makes it different? What's behind? You said you've worked with accelerators and all over. What's the model that's different?
Oh, well, I have to tell you, the first time I went to a Wildcatters event, I wasn't involved in the class. I just got invited to the pitch day.
Oh, wow. And describe what the pitch day is
because
this is a scene.
I walked into this room and there were 150 investors, many of whom I knew because we'd all been wandering around looking for ways to – it's kind of like back in the 60s. I think there was a concert called Woodstock, and everybody said, wow, there's 500,000 of us or whatever the number was. You walk into this room and you see everybody and you went, wow, how did Gabriella get all of these people into one room for the first time ever?
And Gabriella Draney is the CEO of Tech Wildcatters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's the one who put it together. But that was the thing, bringing all of these Texas resources into one place – and giving the entrepreneurs the opportunity to take that education that the Wildcatter class had given them and pitch to the people who really wanted to help.
And they're on stage pitching to, 400 or hundreds of investors, and the pitch for people who aren't familiar, what does that sound like? Naveen, you've had to do this before. What is a pitch?
It's putting into a very short amount of time what you've created, where you are, where you're going, and what your potential is. It's very exciting. A huge amount of work goes into it. I mean, we were practicing pitching constantly throughout the 3 months, at least several times a week. And it's very exciting. You know, it's a accumulation of all your hard work for 3 months and all the advice you've gotten from your mentors, and it's really a phenomenal experience.
And how do you know if you've done a good pitch? I mean, is it sort of like a speech where you're like, all right, that hit home and people were really excited, or do you wait to see if there's interest financially and that tells you?
For me, it was it was what did my mentors and Hubert and my class and people think of my pitch afterwards. It wasn't really, you know, everyone claps and everyone's very gracious, but what kind of reception do you get afterwards? Do you get investors coming up to you, which we did? That's probably the the indication of how well you did.
Let's go now to Ruben in Dallas. Ruben, you there?
Yep.
What's your question?
Well, I'm a physician, and I've also done an MBA from Kellogg in Chicago, and I've been working on a startup. Actually, I have contracts with one of the state insurers, and also I'm getting a second contract. It's in the mental health field with Cooks. But I'm not seeking funding at this time because I want to grow it self-financed. So I was thinking if I can connect with the healthcare wildcatters till I grow my company further. And so is there any opportunity for an entrepreneur who's still at this point not seeking any funding, but maybe down the road?
Great question.
Right. Yeah. Hi, Ruben. So, you know, I think I'd have to learn more about what your goals are. The program is a 3-month program, and part of the reason it is successful and does what it does and it gets the results is because in this compressed time frame, we have a curriculum that goes every single day. We expose our teams to the mentors. We practice the pitch every Wednesday.
There's it's a boot camp.
Yeah, it's a boot camp style event. And then also, you get to know your other peers, and they're out there in the community. And before you know it, the multiplier effect through 100-plus mentors and through your peers and the alums and everyone else is just so wide that you're getting people coming to you wanting to invest or participate or be customers or whatever. And so that's really part of what wide works. And believe it or not, the other 9 months of the year, we're working really hard to continue to help them be successful. So that's part of the solution. But I'd be glad to talk to you and find out more and see if there's any way I or somebody I know can help you.
Michael, you don't have time to do mentorship, it seems like. How do you even fit this in your schedule?
I like Hubert and I like Gabriella, and they call me and say, can you help me? And here's the thing. You would not be able to get successful without people helping you. And if you don't remember that and go back and help, then you're not going to stay successful. And so you carve out time. You have to find time to do it.
I just have to
add. Oh, go ahead, Navinia.
Michael, after we finished, he kept in touch. He spent so much time with us. And yes, he is so incredibly busy. And we just felt really lucky. And that's why I feel like it's family. I can go to Michael anytime and he's there for me, which is pretty amazing considering he's doing, he's an entrepreneur too and doing what I'm doing. So he's really, truly paying it forward.
Just a few seconds left. Michael, give last words of advice to some entrepreneurs who are right in the thick of it.
Yeah. Call your friends, call your family, listen to their advice. But stay on track. Don't give up.
Michael Gorton is CEO of Principal Solar and a serial entrepreneur. Also in studio is Hubert Zajcek. He's CEO of Health Wildcatters. And in California, Naveen Khan, who is CEO of PT Pal. Thank you so much for spending the hour with me, Hubert, Michael, Naveen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Think is produced by Stephen Becker, engineered by Shelley Canavy. Lindsay Connect is associate producer, and our executive producer is Jeff Whittington. You can contact us via email, think@kera.org. Once again, I'm Lauren Silverman. Thanks for listening to Think This Week. Chris Boyd will be back on Monday.